This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Gunnison with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. In half an hour, we've got the breakfast grill. Noel, what's happening today?
Lin Mark will be speaking with Al Hosek, who's the general manager for Asia of this company called Panopto. It's an ed tech or education technology. As you might know that the sector has been seeing renewed interest during the lockdown as schools are relying more on remote learning technology. So this American company, Panopto, they have about over 10 million users globally, and so we're interested to know what are they doing to encourage the adoption of e-learning, and also how they're going to capture the Asian market.
Right, and right now we're taking a look at India. It's the fourth worst hit nation by COVID-19 in the world, behind only the United States, Brazil and Russia, according to Johns Hopkins University data. It has recorded over 420,000 cases to date, with over 10,000 new cases being reported daily and nearly 14,000 deaths. But although COVID-19 continues to spread, India is reopening its economy. The two-month lockdown imposed back in March has resulted in dire consequences for the region.
That's right. I think what's happening is they're trying to reopen the economy, but it's not looking good. And you've seen Moody's, how they've actually revised their growth estimate for the country downwards to reflect the pandemic, as well as the ongoing skirmishes with China on the Ladakh-Leh region, on that 3,500-kilometre border with China. They're saying that these could pose significant material risks to the economy if these things escalate.
Estimates are that economic contraction could range between 5 and 12.5% this year, and unemployment skyrocketed to 26% in March, and with many from the migrant workers in the informal sector. So what will be the implications of COVID-19 have for the Indian economy and policies moving forward? For more insight here, we speak to Amin Thupalit, Senior Research Fellow with the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. Now, India imposed one of the most stringent COVID-19 lockdowns, but the number of cases continue to rise significantly as the economy has reopened. Is there a sense of frustration that the economic cost of the lockdown did not pay off in the expected health dividends?
I would say that more than a frustration, there is a deep realization of the fact that in spite of the infection spreading the way it is, the economy cannot be kept under lockdown for any further period of time, because the economic cost has been very substantial, and India had to make a very difficult choice between saving lives as opposed to preserving livelihoods while going into the lockdown. But in India's case, the degree of this challenge has been that much more, simply because of the very large amount of workers in its informal economy who have been engaged in industries that have been particularly hit badly by the lockdown, such as hospitality, construction, tourism, garments, and so on and so forth. So I suppose the realization has been, after a period of time, that while India was in fairly stringent lockdown, as you mentioned, for 2 months, this period has given Indian governments, particularly the state governments, a certain degree of opportunity to build up capacity for tackling the infection. It is true that the cases are really going up in the country, but if you note that the geographical pattern of these cases is also a bit concentrated on two or three particular states. It's not that the entire country is suffering from a widespread eruption of the disease.
Some 90% of the workforce is engaged in informal work in India. Could you help us understand why is the informal sector so large?
I think that is a result of the structural characteristic of the Indian industry, because India typically, if you note its manufacturing sector, it really doesn't have very many big, large enterprises, except maybe a few like the Reliance in petrochemicals or the Tatas in engineering or a few more elsewhere. There are more industries which have come up later, but by and large, the broad-based Indian manufacturing continues to exist in the space of the medium and small enterprises. And it is actually unfortunate that many of the small enterprises have always been wary of taking on a formal identity, which is primarily because of the costs of such formalization, because formalization entails a certain degree of compliance with governance. It also sometimes entails, in a country like India, a certain degree of harassment or punishment from errant income tax officers, and also the fact that formalization often means that for the labor that is engaged and employed, there needs to be a very large amount of formal conditions maintained in terms of outgo of provident funds and such other benefits. Now, for small enterprises, which are barely in a position to manage their bottom lines, it is not always easy to commit to such commitments. And as a result of that, when something like COVID hits the economy, it is the informal sector which gets hit the most because it is not a protected sector.
So India's economic COVID-19 recovery plan is something to the tune of $260 billion. That's about a tenth of GDP. But experts say that the direct injects is just barely 1% of the figure. So in your opinion, do you think the government is allocating enough resources to mitigate the fallout?
There are two levels at which I think governments across the world are trying to turn around on COVID. The first is providing income support to those who have been badly affected. But the second is to provide funds in such a way that investment picks up, economic activity recovers, and the economies again get to go back to a position that they were in the pre-COVID-19 time. Now, I want to draw attention to the fact that for India, this is going to be a particularly serious challenge because right before the COVID hit the country, India was actually in the process of managing an economic slowdown. And as a result of tackling that slowdown, the government resources had already got depleted to an extent in terms of the investment supports that the government was trying to provide. And then on the back of that, there has been the COVID-19. So going ahead, while India has tried its best in terms of the resources available to support the displaced population out of COVID, it always will remain a challenge to ensure more investment flows to get into the mainstream of the economy, to restart the economy again.
There has long been talk of economic reforms in India. Do you see COVID-19 spurring any such reforms, particularly where the informal sector and migrant workers are concerned?
What India has done in a fairly far-reaching move is that it has reformed many of the old policies that the economists and the governments have been trying to work on for several years. So for example, there's this very significant change which has come in the Essential Commodities Act of 1955, which now allows farmers to sell directly into the open market for export and other purposes. My sense is that there is a considerable thrust on the agriculture and rural sector on part of this current government to ensure that development and economic turnaround happens in a bottom-up fashion. It essentially begins from the agricultural sector. And that enables a lot of the labor who had migrated from the villages to the big cities in search of opportunities to, for at least the time being, restrict on such impulses, stay around in their areas and look for opportunities around the thriving agricultural sector, which is now getting more and more connected to organized retail chains and food stores and so on and so forth. But this is obviously going to take time. But my hope is that this also, in a sense, is a crisis which gives opportunity. And maybe if that opportunity is implemented seriously by all actors, then one might get to see some fundamental yet positive changes coming in within the Indian economy.
That was Amin Tandu Palit, Senior Research Fellow with the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. And really just highlighting for us the situation there, I guess. And one of the things he talked about, like especially we were talking about the informal sector, how it's so big in India. It really is the structural issues present in the economy.
Yeah, so there are many things going for India, right? In the 90s, there was this discussion, would India or China be the bigger economy? So right now, it is China. In terms of GDP, nominal GDP, there's a difference of $10 trillion. China is about $13 trillion. Anyway, I think in India, there's just so many issues, right? It's agricultural base, needs to be modernized, government bureaucracy, labor reforms. That's why we have such a huge informal sector. So basic sanitation, yeah, so many things to look into.
Right now, we're going into a few messages. When we come back, we'll be speaking to tax expert Virinderjit Singh of Tricom Malaysia on how COVID-19 may impact tax revenue. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.